Kia ora, Nick. Good morning.
Kia ora, Catherine.
Can we hone in on the part of this report? I know you do them regularly, every couple of years, but can we hone in, given our times, on the part of the report that talks about people working from home and taking sick leave? What is it revealing is happening?
Well, I think the first thing in the findings of the report is, you know, the rise of the flexi worker. So, as you said in your intro, you know, while 40% of businesses in New Zealand can't offer flexi working, pretty much the 60% have. And so that's been a bit of a game changer in that. But also, to, like most things, there's a good side and a bad side. What businesses are reporting for those that are flexi working, never is there a time when your sort of work life and real life have been so fused together, in fact, blended. And so this is coming with some risk. You know, obviously, we're seeing a lot of businesses reporting a lot more stress in their employees from a combination of some isolation at home, but also some, you know, increased stress levels, COVID-related, you know, work level related. Yep. And so this is sort of culminating, I guess, in a bit of a challenge for the health and well-being of some of the workforce.
Can we talk about stress leave specifically? Are we seeing people taking sick leave properly, i.e. they take a sick day's leave off work and don't do any work? Or are we seeing people taking a sick day's leave and doing work? Or are we seeing people not taking the leave and doing work because they're at home? What's going on?
It is a really good question. And actually, the report said that last year, 2020, and this is the fifth edition of the Workplace Wellness Report, that the average leave taken, absences, was about 4.2 days per employee. Now, that's the lowest over the last 10 years. And 62% of businesses reporting that employees are actually working home when sick. Now, obviously, in 2020, that does make some sense. There was a lot less sickness and injury going around, particularly sort of in lockdown periods. So there was a reason from a health perspective that that was lower. But a couple of things have happened. The first is the message of staying at home when you're sick is getting through. You know, close to 90% of businesses have infused this in the culture, and that is a big change in the last couple of years. So if you're sick, stay at home. But we also need to look behind the sick leave days. You know, obviously the highest driver of sick leave is non-work related sickness, your colds and your flus. Your second is obviously caring for others. And I guess the third is really non-work related injury. So I guess the ability to work from home, there is still a bit of soldiering on mentality in the New Zealand psyche. And actually, if you look at one of the big workload is the biggest stressors. So the combination of, you know, the ability to be able to work at home, the soldiering on mentality and high workloads means that that's probably what's driving the rise in working from home when you're sick.
Okay, so some people might be at home working when they otherwise might have stayed at the office snuffling or whatever.
That's
so
right.
So far, so good. Pretty. Other people may be at home, actually, genuinely for their own sakes, should just not do any work that day, but are doing work because it's becoming so normal now to work from home. Is that a worry?
Yeah, I think that is a worry, yeah. Look, I think employers are doing all the right thing and businesses are doing all the right thing with this messaging. But we do probably see that some are soldiering on still. So I think that the message to all businesses is, you know, the faster, you know, an employee does get well, so they should, really encourage, and in large portion they are encouraging people to get well. You know, that leads to a productive employee, and more prosperity for the business. But there is a worrying trend there that, particularly given your work and your life and your personal life are so fused, that there is a sort of always on working going on at the moment, which is leading to some tiredness and anxiety in Kiwi.
So that is leading us to a problem I know insurance companies keep a very close eye on. If we've got people who are perhaps sick, that ongoing blurring of lines, that's creating stress anyway for many people about working from home. Yes, there's some pros to it, but also your sanctuary has now become your office. Some people call it, it's not working from home, it's sleeping at the office. The always-on mentality that is attached to work from home because I can send you an email any time of day or night. That adds up to a risk of stress. And I know insurance companies keep a very close eye on people's experiences with stress. It's one of the biggest costs or claims on insurance policies is stress-related, long periods of stress-related leave. So are you concerned for the well-being of people, but also overall for the well-being of the workforce, that this doesn't turn into a mountain of stress?
Yes, I mean, I think there is a genuine concern in terms of, I guess, what's underpinning some of the stresses and anxiety in our workforce. I would say a couple of things. The first is businesses are really leaning into this. I mean, I think what we have seen in the last couple of years is a big shift from businesses really deeply understanding that the health and well-being of the human, not just the employee that turns up every day, leads to a more productive workforce, leads to a more prosperous business. So I think that message is getting through, and the numbers businesses are starting to really invest in the health and well-being of their employees. Yep. Remember, employees are often the largest investment that a business makes, and its prosperity lies in the health and well-being of the employee. So that is a big positive shift, I would say, through there. But you are right that second order effects of sickness do come from unwell population. So we are trying to champion through this research a really clear insight and snapshot of the current state of the wellness of New Zealand employees, but also the action that's been taken to prevent any higher risk.
They are obviously extraordinary times for this particular survey. They're about to get more extraordinary as it becomes clear, and we heard earlier in the week from the Chief Medical Officer of Health, and I think the government's announcing more about this today, the plans for managing COVID in our community as numbers rise. And the bulk of people with COVID may well be at home, certainly if we reach a position of surge and then plateau. And we heard from the Chief Medical Officer of Health that in the Auckland and Northland region, that might be 5,000 cases a week at a peak, they anticipate. The bulk of those people will be at home and being cared for with virtual health support and people dropping off things like food and medical supplies. Now, this is going to get interesting. If you are at home with a mild or asymptomatic case of COVID, do you work or do you not work?
Yes, that's the real dilemma, isn't it? I mean, there's no right answer on that one. I think I totally agree that the risk is increasing as we move, as COVID becomes more a suppression strategy in the New Zealand market. So that's the ultimate challenge for the workforce. And remember, I keep on sort of saying that 40% of New Zealand employers can't offer flexi working. So that, the other ones are going to do it really, really tough, and they are now. And so really the 60% that can have to be well-dressed for what is probably going to have higher likelihood of working from home or not working, as the case may be.
It's an interesting potential legal liability and dilemma. Ultimately, one would argue those days should be sick days and no work. The next point I want you to address is one you make well, with the blurring now of the lines between an off-site workplace and a home workplace. How does the employer's health and safety obligations to their employee stretch into the home? And how many businesses are on to checking out what office setups are like at home? How do you manage things like taking breaks? And importantly, the appropriate amount of contact with colleagues. Who's getting into these kinds of policy updates and who isn't?
That's a really, really good question. I think if you talk to WorkSafe, I think a lot of employees are sort of really experiencing the safety side of health and safety. So making sure that your physical in-home, desk, there's a lot of assurances that businesses are looking toward to make sure you're safe at home. But WorkSafe would be the first to admit that one of the key areas of concern is the psychological safety, is the mental health and wellness of their employees. And you can see that employees are saying, 20% of employees are saying that loneliness and disconnection to an organisation is one of the risks that they're trying to really manage. What I do know is a lot of businesses through the leadership are reaching out constantly to employees. They are either you know, investing the time and effort to make sure that they're connected, being very purposeful in making sure that happens, because that is the number one risk that a lot of businesses are facing, is an isolated, anxious employee, and disconnected from, I guess, the organisation and business.
Couple more observations. This is a good email coming from Gary. I would like to see safeguards in place to ensure that the employers are not having workers at the employer's beck and call. When there was something like office hours or clock in, clock out hours at a factory, there was a protection built around not only when your boss could reach you, but when your nervous system was going, is my boss about to email me? Are many businesses getting to grips with the fact that there should be no go hours of the day for their employees who are working remotely?
I think there's a high level of consciousness in businesses that I talk to around that. I mean, the number one driver of, I guess, some workplace-orientated stress is the workload. I mean, that has come through in the report consistently. So, you know, businesses are starting to really understand the drivers of that anxiety, and workload is one of those key things. So having boundaries is really, really important, not just to, I guess, make sure the psychological safety of your employee, but also from a culture. You know, I mean, if the culture of an organisation is what the leaders care about, then ultimately there's a lot more maturing in that leaders care about making sure that employees are safe and well. And having those boundaries, I think, is critical.
Have many employers extended the availability of sick leave in the COVID environment? This was a concern early in the outbreak, that people who were having symptoms wouldn't take a sick day because they only had a handful. I know there's a mandatory minimum. But have businesses got to grips with the times we're in? And yes, at a potential financial cost up front, realised it may be economically and in every way more beneficial to enable some extra sick leave right now?
Well, that's right. And the legislation, Catherine, has changed from the, sort of the minimum of 5 days to 10 days in July. So that has doubled. A lot of organisations did have 10 days before. So there is more availability of sick days. But what I would say, while there's always a cost of absenteeism, our report sort of suggests it's about $1.85 billion a year. Having long-term absenteeism, not fixing short-term sickness quickly, and having an unwell organisation actually is a bigger cost over the long term.
Finally, I think you said it earlier, the report confirms that the number one cause of stress in these employees is workload, yeah?
That's correct.
Thank you, Nick Astwick, Chief Executive of Southern Cross Health Insurance, which with Business New Zealand commissioned this now fifth Workplace Wellness Report 2021. This one, of course, happening in pretty extraordinary times.